Welcome to the Book Club, the show that spotlights undiscovered authors and their books. Here's your host, John Austin.
Thanks, Lee, and welcome back to the second part of our program today. And as I promised you, there are days when I just love hosting this show, and this is one of them because we have a second terrific author, a very talented writer of vampire fiction. The novel we are going to discuss today is Dragon Lord, and the author is Tamara Monteau. Tamara Monteau has two other novels in print, Twilight Destiny and The Darker Path. She lives in Georgia with her husband and family and is currently working on her fourth novel. So welcome to the book club, Tamara.
Hi, John. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're very happy to have you here. And I always like to start with a brief synopsis of the book.
All right. Well, it's a counter-espionage story. It starts out with my female character. She is a very young field agent for a fictional group that supports the Homeland Security Administration. And she's being sent in to retrieve secrets stolen from her government. Unfortunately, there's a vampire named Ronan who is also going to where she's trying to infiltrate, and he's investigating the disappearance of vampire servants. And they sort of bump into each other. They get captured. And then, of course, they have to escape and run from the bad guys and go get help.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to fill this in a little bit as we go along. But I want to tell the readers that this is one of the most erotic novels I have read in some time.
Well,
you're welcome. And when I say erotic, it's erotic, it's sensual, but there is really only one little snippet of graphic sex in there. This is not, like a soft porn book, but I told Tamara, I said, we're going to have to rate these things as how many cold showers it takes for you to get through the book. But it is really an outstanding book, very well written.
Thank you.
But let's talk about some of the characters, and of course your protagonist. Well, you actually have two protagonists, Tyler Jenkins.
Right.
I guess you did, and then you said that she was, and so on.
Right.
And so I guess then the next question. Let's talk about Corleone.
I don't go into a lot of detail on where he's from or what his political views are, but I really didn't think that was as important to the readers as what he was after. He's the leader of an establishment he calls his consortium, and his business is primarily in information gathering, and he collects intelligence from all different factions and sells them to the highest bidder. So when he stole that microchip, he took off with some pretty sensitive information, which he was trying to decode when she went in to try and retrieve the chip.
That's good.
Okay.
And then I think the next character, the next character is actually the second protagonist, because they're both. And it's
Ronan,
yes. And I'd like to tell you, or like you to tell us about him, and then I'd also like to have you tell us a story about that you actually fell in love with this character.
Well, it was easy to do. Ronan is the oldest known vampire in existence, and my readers will remember that I once called a character named Jason the oldest, but that was before Ronan reared his head and came to the scene. He has a very powerful and very dangerous secret that he harbors, keeps to himself very tightly, and keeps his control very tightly reined, because if he should lose control of his emotions, he could actually cause a lot of damage. So he spends millennia hiding away from the world and studying it covertly, living life vicariously through other people's eyes, and just observing the world go by as he struggles to control this thing that he has possession of.
And as you wrote this book, you actually fell in love with him. You said when the book ended, you actually went through a breakthrough or a breakup mentality.
Well, John, it's like someone flips a switch in my head. My reality shifts every time I start on a project, and I become extremely emotionally involved with my characters. And Ronan just, for some reason, and it's odd because he's the exact opposite of my husband. He's very brooding and mysterious, and it was odd to me that he struck a chord in me so tightly that, yeah, by the time I finished the book, I was deeply in love with him. Fictional character and all. And when the book was finished and sent out for publishing, I went through the equivalent of baby blues. I went through a real depression over the breakup.
That's amazing. I've never heard that. Most of the people we talk to, most of the authors we talk to are definitely involved. But this is a first. Anyway, let's go down and let's talk about Trevor.
Trevor is like a father figure to Tyler. It's not in the book, but he got interested in her when she signed on with Homeland Security and followed her training, pulled her into the covert operations agency. And he was, it comes out in the story, a servant of Ronan's, but he played a minor role in dealing with Ronan in that he didn't, you know, day by day guard his security and so forth. But he's more like a government contact. Whenever Ronan really needs help from an official agency, he has somebody that he can turn to.
Okay, and then now Tyler is on this mission to get into the Corleone compound, and she is basically caught and is rescued kind of by Ronan, and then they both end up in trouble.
Right. I probably should go ahead and tell the readers just so it'll whet their appetite a bit. But when they're captured by the consortium, Ronan is fatally wounded, and Tyler then has to help kind of patch him up so he doesn't bleed to death before he can manage to get himself some help. And she was tortured while in custody and was becoming very ill. And that, along with, his weakened state, there was just absolutely no hope of them ever getting out of the consortium alive. So as a last-ditch effort, she offered herself to Ronan so that he could recover himself and get the hell out of there. She knew she was going to die one way or the other, and she, you know, took the easier way out. But when she woke up and discovered that she had not, in fact, died, she was still in Ronan's care, and she realized, of course, you know, through conversation, that she wasn't going to be able to go anywhere or do anything until he saw to her needs. So he ended up feeding her, which in my culture, vampire blood has healing properties when ingested by humans.
Okay, before we got that far, I was going to ask you, there was one other place where as they are taking Tyler in to torture her, and Ronan says, "Well, I can place a booby trap in your mind,"
right.
and then she takes on this name of Ardona. I thought that that segment was very interesting. Do you want to tell the readers and listeners about that?
Well, you know, it was the first name that came to his mind. Ronan has never ever involved himself with humanity beyond the casual brushings and, you know, feedings and such, but He was still deeply grieving over a love that he had when he was mortal, and hers was the only name that came to mind. He gave it to her mentally, insisted that that was her name so that she wouldn't give away her true identity to their captors.
And she actually talked, she ended up talking a language that had been dead for some time.
Oh, millennia.
Right. So, okay. And at that point, Tyler really didn't realize that Ronan was a vampire, and she figured he's dead.
Right.
And now there's one part before they start feeding on each other. It turns out that Tyler is a virgin and therefore an innocent, and Ronan can't take the blood of, or won't take the blood of innocence unless asked.
Right.
Okay. Is the research on this thing, I mean, did this come up somewhere in the research, or is this just the research in your mind?
Well, you know, it's John, it's interesting that you could ask me that, because really there is no right or wrong when it comes to vampires. I mean, there's some people who claim that, yes, they do exist, and half of me wants to believe so. But there isn't any real clear-cut method of culture with the vampire communities. Where am I wanting to go with this?
That's okay. It's okay.
All of the vampires that I deal with belong to the community. That's a group that I came up with. And I did a lot of research on vampirism, and I've read a lot of books. I especially liked one by Kim Newman called Anno Dracula, which surmised what would happen if Dracula had not been destroyed by Van Helsing and had become the consort of the Queen of England.
Oh, jeez, okay.
And changed the political structure of England to include vampires.
Wow, okay.
That was an interesting book. But, I've seen television series and movies. I've researched. The Internet's a great superhighway, and I browse often looking for, you know, clarification on points that I'm writing or whatever.
Okay.
And there are a lot of self-proclaimed experts in the field, but most of what I've written came pretty much as a compilation of things I already knew and things that I wanted to do.
Okay, that's great. And then we talked about Ronan taking the blood from Tyler, and then Tyler actually taking the blood from Ronan. And she's worried that she wakes up in this cave, and she's worried that she might already become a vampire. And he explains that she can't be from just that.
Right. Right. There are a number of ways to turn an individual, but the most common in the standpoint of the community is that the vampire would drain the individual to the point of their death and bind their spirit to their body before it has a chance to surrender. Then when they rise, you know, their body begins a transformation, and when they rise, they reclaim their blood from their master and inherit their power.
Okay, good. The one thing that he does... She does find out, and Ronan explains that if Tyler feeds from him, that they might be bound together for a very long time.
Right. I call it a blood bond. In that instance, when the blood is shared like that, Ronan, or any vampire, would share some of his outward capabilities, his improved senses and so forth. A mental bond forms between the two that is sometimes unshakable, where they can actually, you know, sense each other and know when one needs the other or what's going on.
Okay. And then there's, I think, a very nice thing where the interplay between Ronan and Tyler is very interesting. But now they're in this cave that's pretty much blocked in. I mean, they're in the middle of this mountain, and the bats are getting out. And tell them how they get out of the cave.
In order to get out of the bat cave, the only way is up through a small hole that leads into a long tunnel.
And so they fly.
So they fly.
Yes, and she doesn't want to fly.
She wasn't thrilled with that one yet.
No, that's right. So we're talking to Tamara Monteau about her terrific vampire novel, Dragon Lord. Now, Ronan is going to take her to be with more vampires, and it's at that point that he is... danger. He confesses that he's dangerous, and she asks him, well, to who?
Right. He's a danger to everybody. If he should lose control, he could destroy civilization as a whole, depending on how strong his rage actually does become. Thankfully, in today's world, there's just too much civilization, and I simply don't think he has the power to, or even his beast has the power to destroy the whole thing in one fell swoop. But he does need to keep himself very much under control, and he does recognize his potential for danger.
Okay, and we're going to flip a little bit, because now they do realize that there is a mole in Tyler's organization, which is one of the reasons that Corleone was captured both of them. And then Tyler, after they fly out of this bad case, Tyler has no idea of the connection between Ronan and Trevor. So, you know, as far as she's concerned, they don't know each other.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I thought that was kind of an interesting twist to throw in there, because otherwise, how else would Ronan know that he had to protect her?
Right. And then, and so Tyler phones her boss and says, well, I have an ally.
Right.
And he's saying, well, who's the ally? And she doesn't know who the ally is. Anyway.
I could just feel the man's mouth going dry at that point.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about the truck stop and BB, a.k.a. Maggie.
Maggie Kern.
Yes. Tell us about her.
She's a real person, believe it or not, and a very good friend of mine, and I'm not going to tell you her real name.
Oh, good. Okay.
She's a real kick. She really is. She's, gosh, how do I describe her? She's just an interesting individual is the best way I can put it.
Okay.
Has a very interesting outlook on life.
And she's actually one of the servants because they are being chased by Corleone's people and by some other vampires, which we'll talk about in a minute. But and so he takes Tyler to this truck stop where he knows that they can make this contact with BB. I won't tell you, ask you what BB stands for, but anyway, they get in the truck, and then they're caught, and there's a shooting.
Right. Obviously, the people that were watching the truck stop, and Tyler had noticed one standing out in the parking lot, obviously they suspected that Maggie had taken on passengers and pursued her, and she was forced to pull off on the side of the road. She was keyed up on her CB mic and broadcasting over the emergency channel during the whole thing, while Tyler and Ronan sat and laid and listened from the doghouse, which is a compartment, in, especially in some of these larger tractors that they use for additional storage usually.
Okay. And now they're looking for the community, and there's a big difference here. Ronan is actually not a member of the community, but he isn't a rogue. So you want to explain the difference?
Sure. Rogues are made differently, and I have not addressed this in my books, but basically, without the trick of binding the soul to the body, the soul flees. But if the vampire introduces blood directly into the human's bloodstream and then leaves them at that, it's kind of like a retrovirus. It takes over and claims their bodies. But since their souls aren't bound, they flee, and what you end up with is a mindless, insane bloodsucker.
Okay, we don't want any part of that. So one other thing that happens is we find out through the story that Tyler is actually a foundling and believes she's an orphan. Now that comes into play later in the novel. So there's not much that we can say about that. But
well, I can tell you that it is the cornerstone on which she bases her life. She's extremely rational. She keeps emotional color out of her thinking at all times. And she will not allow herself to trust anybody and give them the power to hurt her.
Okay. Now we're in an airplane. After BB gets them to an airplane, and now they're going to get out of the airplane, and they're, I don't know, 20,000 feet up, and Ronan explains how they're going to get out of the airplane.
Yeah, that scared the hell out of me when it popped in my mind, I got to tell you. Because I don't like heights either. I really don't. But, when they figured out that they were being tracked by the cell phone, they decided they'd better separate themselves from it. And the best way would be to send the phone in one direction while they're headed off in another. So he straps her tightly to his torso and pops open the rear hatch, and out they go.
And they fly again. And so, okay. You know, I thought this was hilarious in the book. They go to a bar. They find this bar that's actually a vampire bar.
And Nova.
No, right. And they go in Ronan orders Tyler wine for Tyler. And then he orders his own drink. And he had lots of choices. You want to talk about
that? Yeah. Well, that was actually spawned by an idea my husband gave me. He thought, wouldn't it be fun You know, you have all these mobile blood banks that run. You've seen them, Red Cross vans that run around and take blood. What if one of them was under vampire control? And what if that blood, instead of being labeled by blood type and prepared for transfusions, was labeled by the type of person that donated the blood? Because in my first novel, I mentioned that whenever a vampire drinks from a human, they share parts of that person's life. Everything that you are is written in your blood. And they can feel that when they feed. That's part of what draws the vampire to drink. So in the case of collecting blood for recreational use, it would be more advantageous and helpful to the vampire if they knew who the blood came from as much as what it was.
Yeah, and he's given a choice. Well, do you want a lawyer's blood or an actress's blood?
Lawyer or a politician.
Right. It's very, very funny, I thought. Anyway, at the bar, then they're confronted by Zachariah.
Right. He's the leader of that particular band of Liberato.
Okay.
And they had entered Nova. The readers should understand they're still looking for the community. Ronan has never actually had any contact with any vampires, and all that he has learned has been gained through covert study. So he's now trying to find the community and get their attention. So he learns that there's vampires here. He doesn't know what kind they are, but they have to go check it out. And when they do, they discover it's Liberato. And these are the anarchists of the vampire world, the ones that host rebellions and cause trouble.
Okay.
So they stepped right in the middle of a hornet's nest with that.
Yes,
one.
They did. Okay, and now they've got Zachariah and the Liberato, and they're all chasing Ronan and Tyler. And at this point, we actually meet some of the people from the community, and we find out we find that out in the bar, because Zachariah knew who Ronan was. And that's when we find out that his other title is Dragon Lord.
That's when Bastion shows up and he offers that title, because even though he had kept to himself, he had intervened on a number of occasions throughout history. So there are rumors about him that date back to ancient times. So when he offers the title, he knows that Bastion, being old enough to be a member of the Elders, would at least have heard of him.
Okay. And we meet Bastion and Trey and Antonia, and they all have major parts in the rest of the novel. I want to talk about two other things, and then I want to get off this, because I don't want to tell the readers the end of this novel. But I will mention that Tyler's always in trouble, it seems. Tyler is then kidnapped at the museum.
Right.
And then Ronan goes after her, and that's when we meet the dragon. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. The dragon is, well, Ronan doesn't know what it is. He never got a chance really to talk to his sire. His sire never told him much. So all he knows is he's got this powerful evil demon inside of him, and he doesn't really know what it is, but he has to constantly be on guard to control it. And when he let his guard down enough to become both blood-bound with Tyler, and then by this time she was also placed under his control, and he was already too far connected to her to distance himself from his feelings. So when she was kidnapped, his anger and his fear rose to a point where the beast inside of him began to stir. And the only way he could shut him up was to tell him he could have her captors if he quieted down long enough for him to go after her. And then, yeah, as soon as he got to where she was being held and was ready to release her, why, the people that caught her sprung a trap and tried to capture him, return him back to the consortium. And this crazy beast just sort of appeared magically out of nowhere and attacked it, basically.
Okay. Well, we're going to stop here because we definitely don't want to give away the ending, which is romantic and sad and sensual and a few other things that I won't tell you. You're going to have to buy the book. So let's tell the listeners how they buy the book.
I am available from virtually every online bookstore.
Okay, and I would advise you to get a copy because this one is very, very talented. I want to spell your last name because the name is Monteau, but it's you want to tell them the name.
It's Monteau.
Yes, and you have one that you're doing now. I don't think we have enough time to talk about it, but when is the next one out?
When I finish it and have the money to publish it.
Oh, okay. So we don't have a date yet, but anyway.
Well, I will tell you I'm beyond chapter 9.
Okay.
The thing just started flowing the minute I sat down.
Okay. Well, we've been talking to Tamara Monteau about her novel, Dragon Lord. Be sure to join us next Tuesday for the next edition of the Book Club. Until then, this is John Austin wishing you a good day and a good read.